Hello, everyone. Welcome again to our baptism service. I'm Pastor Barry, lead pastor of Symphony Church. And I want to just begin by thanking Brandon for sharing his testimony today. You know, ordinarily, Brandon would not be the only person sharing his testimony, but actually a number of people who expressed interest in being baptized are actually not physically present in Boston right now, which means that a rather big spotlight is being placed on Brandon right now. So thank you, Brandon. I want to welcome all of you for coming or joining us today as well. And I want to especially welcome any visitors who are joining us for the first time today. Abby, Mehdi, and Bridget from Gordon College, if you're there, welcome. So glad you could join us. In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to greet one another. But before we do that, I want to express some pastoral thoughts or concerns that aren't directly related to this baptism service or to this message. First, I want to add my encouragement to Pastor Doug's encouragement for all the young adults to join in prayer this coming Friday night. This is a season where we really need to be praying all the more. And I don't know the last time that you just sat at the feet of Jesus without being concerned and worried about many things, but let's try to do that this Friday. Let's take the evening and just sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer and just soak in his presence. Friday, starting at 7:30 p.m., let's pray together. Second, you know, we're approaching Thanksgiving, and for many of you, that means that you will be traveling. And if you are going to be traveling away from Boston, whether just for Thanksgiving or you're actually going home for the semester, or you're just traveling during the holidays, I ask that you stay connected to this community virtually. You know, distance really isn't a barrier any longer. So let's worship together. Now, this may mean that you have to plan some of your travel or even some of your holiday plans around being part of a worship service. And I know that the option is always there to view a service later at your own time and your own convenience. But if you are able, I believe it's always better to worship with others, even if virtually, rather than by yourself. And if you're going home to families who don't know Jesus, perhaps you can invite them to view the service together, and so they can see what it is that you've been up to in Boston. You know, I talk about prayer and this worshiping community for another reason. The days are getting shorter, you may have noticed. Winter is approaching, and at least for those of us who are in the Northern Hemisphere. And this will be our first winter dealing with COVID and social distancing. And we need to be particularly aware of the potential mental health challenges of this season. And you know, winters are already difficult, but this will be potentially that much more difficult and challenging. And so it's really important for all of us that we lean into God and we lean into community. And I just want to encourage you to be very intentional about setting rhythms in your life that will allow you to lean into God and lean into community. And I encourage you to be ruthless about this. Let's be ruthless about leaning into joy and fellowship and grace. Okay, with that said, let's take a minute to welcome and greet one another. This would be a great time to go into Zoom, and if you're there, you can say hello to those that are worshiping alongside of you, and I'll see you in a minute. Well, let's come back together. Today I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you that you are the one who seeks after us. You're the one who desires more than anyone else that we return to your arms. And we thank you that you did all the work that was necessary for us to be able to have a relationship with you. We celebrate with all of heaven that Brandon is getting baptized today. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so two parables that are making virtually the same point, right? In both, something is lost. The owner puts every effort into finding that which was lost. And then when the sheep or coin is found, they call together their friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, my coin that was lost." And Jesus tells us that so too heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. Who is lost? Well, we are. And when we're found, all heaven celebrates. And to really reinforce this point, Jesus follows those two parables that we read with the most famous parable, perhaps of all, about a young man who asks for his inheritance early, before his father even passes away, and he leaves his father's household and wastes the inheritance away, only to finally return. And his father had been watching for him day after day. And when his son returns, the father, just like the two previous parables, calls his neighbors to a party. And we know in that parable that not everyone actually wants to celebrate this young man's return. There's an older brother who's quite irked, frustrated that such a fuss is being made about his younger brother, who in his mind deserves scorn, not forgiveness, punishment rather than a party. But his father says these words, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad." Friends, brothers, sisters, there are a lot of serious things happening in the world today. And let me share one thing that may have gone under the radar for you. We have a mission center in Coban, Guatemala. And recently, Hurricane Ida has devastated Guatemala. Over 150 people are estimated to have died. And the AMI Mission Center has actually taken in over 37 families from the Coban area who have sought shelter. And as AMI churches, we'd like to take a combined love offering to support the Mission Center and also to bring relief to the city of Coban. And we're going to be giving more instruction about that during the offering as to how you can do that. There are a lot of serious things happening, and we may not really feel like celebrating. And yet, Jesus tells us that whenever anyone returns to God, we ought to celebrate and be glad. I want to share a few thoughts from this parable, or these two parables, as we prepare to baptize our brother Brandon today. First, Jesus tells us that every life or soul is precious to God. And that means you are precious to God. You are precious to God. God doesn't love you because of your parents or because you're part of this church. He doesn't love because of what you've done or what you haven't done. He loves you because you are precious to him. And so when you've lost your way and wandered away from God, he seeks after you. And by the way, if every soul is precious to God, that means that your neighbor is also precious to God. That's one reason that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because God's heart breaks when we don't love the people that he loves. Second thought, God is the chief organizer of parties in heaven. You know, our parables tell us that the seeker calls his or her neighbors over to celebrate. So God is the one who is seeking and finding, and so he's the one who's celebrating the hardest. Why are the angels celebrating? Because God is celebrating. You know, Jesus tells us that every time a sinner comes back to God, in other words, every time someone who has wandered away from the Father's love comes back, right, to the Father, every time that someone who is living as though God didn't exist or matter, they come back to God, put their faith in God, all of heaven rocks. Third, if every life is precious to God and every time someone comes back to God, there's a heaven-wide party, then every conversation or interaction that we have with our neighbor has heaven-rocking potential. Okay? Brandon told us that he was shocked that some of you love Jesus like he was real, right? Just in front of him. And so well done, right? It was a process for Brandon to come to know the reality of the Father and his love. And it's a process for most of us. It happened one step at a time. You know, I was talking with a group of national and international evangelists earlier this week, and one of them said this: the best form of evangelism is just loving Jesus with all your heart and then letting that love overflow into all your other relationships. So for all of us, let's believe that every conversation or interaction or act of love has the potential to move our neighbors, our friends, our family members, our colleagues, one step closer to a heaven-rocking celebration. All right, so how does this all relate to baptism? Well, quite simply, baptism is the church's official celebration of a formerly lost person coming back to the Father. Okay, let me repeat that but rephrase. Baptism is the way that the church officially celebrates a person coming to know Jesus. Wait, Pastor Barry, I came to believe in Jesus a long time ago, but I haven't been baptized yet. Well, I see. Well, let me ask you, why are you delaying the church's celebration? You know, in the Bible, people came to believe, and right away, they were baptized. We see that, for example, in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 men, women hear, and then they're baptized. We see that with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. The eunuch had a divine appointment with Philip the evangelist, who explains the gospel to him. And then we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized?" It's, of course, a rhetorical question, but the answer is nothing, right? Nothing. And I need to say this clearly because there are Christian cults that teach otherwise, okay? You are not saved because of baptism. Baptism is the celebration of a person's salvation. Let me put it in more theological language, okay? Baptism is an outward, subjective, symbolic act that represents the inward, objective reality of a relationship with Jesus. You know, in a moment, Brandon's going to be doused with water, okay? He's going to feel it. It's subjective, right? We're all going to witness it. It's outward. And it's a symbol of something that has already happened inside of him, okay? Something that the Bible says has happened to each of us who have believed in Jesus, whether we felt it or not, okay? Which is that we have been immersed, baptized into God's love, into his power, into his grace. You know, today I invite you to take a step toward Jesus. Now, you may not be a believer yet, in which case I am very thankful that you had the intellectual and spiritual courage to participate in something that you're not sure of. But today, I want to encourage you to take a step toward Jesus. Perhaps that means continuing to join the worship. You can belong to this community before you believe. Perhaps it means joining one of our family groups or one of our microchurches. Perhaps it means reading the Bible daily. Perhaps it means having a frank conversation with someone you know really loves Jesus and just ask all your questions. Perhaps it means today that you want to take that heaven-rocking step of putting your faith in Jesus and asking Him to come into your life. The good news that billions of people have trusted in, which have sparked off billions of celebration in heaven, is this: every life is precious to God, but the ones that He loved didn't love Him back. We sinned. We lived as though God didn't exist or matter. We took ourselves, actually, away from the source of life and joy. But because we're precious to Him, He came looking for us. How? Well, He entered into our reality. He took care of our sin problem by taking the punishment of all of our sin and dying on a cross. When Jesus died on that cross, our sin died with Him. And when He rose from the dead, well, now we can live with Him. That's the good news. And God, your Father in heaven, is inviting you to say yes. If you have believed but are not yet baptized, let's celebrate together. Let's not delay the celebration. Won't you walk in obedience to your Father's desire? If you have believed, what prevents you from being baptized if you have not been already? Nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in the midst of trials and struggles, we have reason for joy and hope. We celebrate knowing that when we believed, we put ourselves firmly into Your unshakable hands. We thank You that today we can celebrate with our brother Brandon. We also anticipate the many celebrations that we're going to be able to join in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, let's just continue in prayer just for a moment. I want to ask that you respond to these parables that Jesus told. There is a Father who is seeking after you and longing for you to rejoin his house, to re-enter into His presence, and to walk with Him and walk in the abundant life that He has for you. Let's take a moment and just pray, no matter where we are in the spectrum, where we are in our journey. Let's just take some time to just respond to our Father and see what the next step that He wants us to take is. Let's go before the Lord. Before we baptize Brandon, we're going to commit our next steps before Jesus. And if at this time you could take out your phone or go to your computer, go to the connection card form, and if there's anything that you feel like the Spirit is asking you to do to take a step closer to Jesus, if you're willing to say yes, let's make an offering of that today. In the next step section, you can write or check off one of the options. Let's bring that as a symbol of our hearts before Jesus. As we always say at Symphony, the best offering that we can bring to God is an offering of our hearts. And so let's bring that offering today. If you have prayer requests, please let us know in the prayer request or comment section, and we'll be praying for you. If you have needs, please let us know, and we're going to be praying for you. So we're just going to, let's take a few moments to do that. Then I'll pray for us, and then we'll baptize our brother Brandon. Father, we thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You that we can bring an offering to You, Lord, that is pleasing, we hope. in your eyes. And we just pray, God, that we would be able to walk, Lord, in obedience to you. Lord, that we would know that every single person around us is precious, including ourselves. That we would know, Lord, that every interaction, Lord, is potentially heaven-rocking because you are the one, Lord, who celebrates the hardest when any one of your children comes back to you. Lord, we want to be part of that again. Lord, we want to be part of that journey. We want to be part of that celebration. We thank you that we can celebrate today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.